to Glow in the Dark.
Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. Each week I bring you free science fiction. It's stuff I write and narrate. And we're into my novel, Vatican Abdicated, right now on the podcast. It's book three of the Vatican Assassin Trilogy. So let me set up the story for you in case you're new or just coming back to it after a little bit. We've got an interstellar war about to begin, just possibly. Our lead character, Bernard Campion, BC, he's heading out to the project's asteroid base, which is under siege by UIN ships. These are modified UIN ships. The UIN is the Universal Islamic Nation. They are based on Mars. They've come under the control of a mind-controlling member of an alien race now known as the Ancient Enemy. This guy by the name of Dolomei. He was in suspended animation, came out, and now a million years after he originally lived, he's infiltrated the human race. Because, you see, we just happen to be offshoots of the Ancient Enemy in some ways. And Dolomei and the UIN are only one of the threats that humankind is facing. The race that has ruled our galactic neighborhood, the Eldred, were shocked when humanity suddenly showed up on the scene, because we're an unexpected offshoot of the Ancient Enemy, whom the Eldred had defeated a million years ago. We were started on Earth by a DNA-delivering starseed of the Ancient Enemies over a million years ago, and because of that heritage, the Eldred have infected humanity with a plague that might wipe us all out. So there's that, too. We'll head out to the project's asteroid base with BC in Chapter 4 of Vatican Abdicator, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. A little bit of news before we get into it. A little bit of writing news. I was mentioning last week about how my stuff was getting picked up on Medium by their editors. Well, on the site, on Medium, there are publications as well, and one of those publications has now approached me about featuring my work. So I'm going to be writing for Fanfare on Medium. It's been an interesting week. I was also approached by Michael Sampson, who has started a new social media platform called Eruditely. And he's asked me to become a part of that, so I think I'm going to check that out. I'm about to join. May do that later today, see what that's all about. Another thing that I'm part of, I'm going to be giving away Good Samaritan number one, Good Samaritan Unto Dust, number one of two, as part of the third annual non-Comic-Con Relaxational Week. Comic book creator Gary Scott Beatty has been doing this. I participated last year as well. He does it through his mailing list, so you'll want to sign up now so you can get in on this when it starts up on July 8th. So you can sign up for Gary's list at azurn.com. That's with two A's. So AAZURN.com. Head over there, sign up for the list, and from July 8th, you'll be getting free indie comics from people like me. And a reminder to head to Kickstarter. If you head to Kickstarter.com, you can get in on Always Punch Nazis Volume 2. Which has a brand new Alibi Jones story in it, Alibi Jones The Legacy, which features Alibi and Kit. Just head to Kickstarter.com and look for Always Punch Nazis. You got another week and a half or so to support the project. And get your hands on that new Alibi Jones story. Well, that's it for news. Up next, we'll get into Chapter 4 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio.
What are you doing in the kitchen?
Writing a short story.
With a meat mallet?
Well, yeah. My characters are giving me trouble.
Well, then what about the cheese grater?
I have to make sure my plot points are evenly spread through the whole story, don't I? Oh, my action scene is done.
Wow, you got it perfectly browned.
350 degrees for 12 minutes. Perfect.
The Melting Podcast, a writing variety show featuring a little of everything from everyone, everywhere. Short and flash fiction, author interviews, book reviews, and more. Come visit the Disaster Kitchen and cook up a story. Something's burning.
My dialogue!
Now here's Chapter 4 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC's ship jumps back into normal space as close to the project's asteroid base as possible. Get us in there now, he barks at the pilot, who ignores BC to concentrate on weaving the ship's way through the chaotic flying rock field. They still haven't attacked, Anita tells BC over the comm. They've kept in contact since she called the Vatican 5 hours ago. Well, keep your eyes on them, BC tells her. They might attack at any minute, especially when they see our greeting committee. BC's pilot steers their ship in past the UIN ships. They scoot in towards the asteroid base, apparently without attracting notice. The UIN ships don't so much as flinch. They're obviously waiting for something. But what?
Mr. Wentworth on the comm for you, sir, the pilot tells BC.
Wentworth, we're landing on the base now. The UIN cruisers are holding position for the moment. Nothing from them yet. Did Mbeki call Dolome?
He did, but Dolome's people told him he'd get back to him. He delayed his response.
Interesting, BC muses. Why the feint? Why call Mbeki while sending ships out here?
Boom, Chad.
The ship rocks sideways, and BC is thrown to the deck. I think we've got action, BC states the obvious. Contact our other ships. Find out what's happening. Give them permission to engage the UIN ships.
Oh!
BC's head erupts in pain.
You again, eh?
Fuck you.
Are you in command of these poor excuses for warriors? Not too impressive. I expected so much more from this legendary project I've heard so much about.
How do you know?
By now.
BC is blinded by pain. He blacks out. He comes to lying on the deck of the bridge of his ship. He looks up to see stars and rocks whirling past the view screen. Back out in space, off the base. Must be in the battle.
Sir, you're awake, the pilot says.
Yeah, BC acknowledges.
We're getting clobbered, sir, the pilot informs him. These UIN ships are new, better. It's a lot different fighting them now. They're modified or something, faster, a lot more controlled, more deadly.
BC can't tell from the view screen where they are. The stars and asteroids reel by chaotically. There are no other ships in sight.
Where are we?
On the other side of the asteroid base, opposite the main action, the pilot informs him. Our guns got hit. We're kind of useless right now. And you've been unconscious, so I guess this is where we should hang out for now.
Is he awake yet? BC hears Anita's voice on the comm. Anita, BC calls out. What's happening?
It's bad, BC.
Where are you now? And, wait a minute, what the fuck?
Anita?
We've got more ships here.
What?
More ships, flashing in out of transpace. If these are their reinforcements, we're screwed. More ships? BC, it's the Eldred.
The Eldred?
There's no answer.
We've lost contact with the base, the pilot tells him.
Bring us around in front of the asteroid base, BC commands. They come around the asteroid and see flashes, flares, and lingering explosions in space, the battle raging before them.
Who's who?
BC asks.
Heads-up display, the pilot calls out. A graphic overlay lights up across the view screen with combatants labeled in red, light blue, and green.
Shit, BC lets out.
There are a few green dots representing the UTZ ships left intact and maneuvering. None of the still intact UTZ craft currently appear to be engaged in fighting. There aren't many of the red dots, UIN ships, left either. A line of blue dots is sweeping through the red dots, and as they do, the red dots are disappearing.
The Eldred.
BC watches the blue dots. The ships of the Eldred surround the red lights, the UIN ships, and then methodically disable and destroy them. Even as the line of Eldred ships approach UIN ships that the heads-up display has labeled apparently disabled, they destroy them. BC calls up small displays in front of him to try to get a closer view from one of the other UTZ ships. He finds a feed from one of their ships that shows a line of four sleek silver Eldred ships approaching two UIN craft. The UIN ships are heavily damaged, ragged gashes torn in their sides, blast holes back where their engines used to be spark and glow with orange fire. The Eldred ships approach the crippled craft and fire repeated blasts into the wreckage, reducing them to small glowing pieces. Brutal. At least the Eldred seem to be distinguishing between the UIN and the UTZ ships.
Can we pick up any UIN communications? BC asks the captain.
Depends on the channel, he tells BC. Let me try to pick them up, let's see.
The comm comes to life. A panicked voice pleads in Arabic. Can we translate that?
Here it comes.
Please, no, we are standing down. Do not fa-
I-
They hear many voices begging for mercy, pleading to be spared. The Eldred ignore the cries and continue eliminating the UIN forces ship by ship, sweeping through, killing in a methodical fashion one UIN ship at a time, no matter if the ship is disabled and non-threatening.
Can we get in their way? BC asks the captain.
What?
The captain can't believe what BC just asked him.
I want to get their attention, BC explains.
Let's go get the Eldred's attention.
The captain shakes his head, but does as BC asks. Their ship zips up in front of the advancing Eldred ships, among the few remaining UIN ships.
Open all channels, BC tells him. Let's say hello.
You're on.
BC clears his throat.
Let's see if this works.
This is Bernard Campion calling the Eldred fleet. I am in the ship that has just approached you. Do not fire, I repeat. This is Bernard Campion of Earth to the Eldred fleet.
This is the leader of responsibility for the Eldred fleet responding. Hello, Bernard Campion.
And Eldred responds in a mellow, calm, even-toned voice.
Yeah, hello yourself, BC says, surprised by the quick response.
What are you doing?
We are eliminating the enemy, the calm alien voice responds.
Right, BC says. But you're killing, destroying ships that aren't even a threat anymore. Why are you blowing up disabled ships here?
Your assessment of the situation is not accurate, the Eldred says. The threat is greater than you know. We detected the presence of Dolomei among these ships. He is a primary threat and requires the most extreme measures.
I see. Dolomei is... BC starts to answer.
You are distracting us in our hunt for Dolomei,
the Eldred says, cutting BC off.
Do you try to aid him?
You dare to suggest this, BC says, trying to muster all the indignation he can. I have spoken with the eldest of the Eldred. I have been a guest on Eldre. I could be your ally.
And yet you helped Dolomei escape,
the Eldred says.
I do no such thing, BC yells at the comm, at the Eldred, at everyone.
Frustrating fucks.
BC,
Anita's voice cuts in over the comm.
The Eldred just destroyed one of our ships. There were six people on board.
Okay, now you're blowing up our ships, Mr. Leader of Responsibility of the Eldred,
BC yells.
Stop this now,
he thunders at the comm.
Our apologies, Bernard Campion. We were unsure of the status of that ship.
The even-toned voice of the Eldred leader tells him,
we have entered a situation where Dolomei's whereabouts are now unknown. Thus all human ships are now legitimate targets.
Great, so how long until they blow us up?
Bernard Campion, the Eldred speaks again suddenly, there has been a change.
The even-toned alien voice informs them.
We have received word that Dolomei has returned to Mars. This battle is over for now.
The Eldred ships begin disappearing from the screen, light blue dots blinking out, clearing the space around the project's asteroid base. BC notices all the red dots are gone from the display, too.
That went well.
Anita?
Go ahead, BC.
Seems to be over out here for now. We're coming in.
See you when you're down, she says, and clicks off.
BC watches through the view screen as the ship maneuvers past battered UTZ ships and flying asteroids down into the base's landing bay. The captain weaves and waltzes their ship's way in past crippled craft, debris, and random rocks. They touch down in the asteroid base's bay amid other battle-blasted UTZ ships and their battered and wounded crews. BC finds Anita waiting for him as he gets off the ship.
Anita!
BC, good to see you in one piece, she says.
She hesitantly approaches, and he gives her a friendly hug.
She pulls away a little too quickly.
She's hard to figure out. Is she happy to see me?
Good to be seen in one piece, BC tells her, smiling.
But you know, I do like this woman.
Dolomei is making a public broadcast from Mars, she tells BC.
She motions for him to follow her, and she leads him over to the wall of the landing bay.
He's on right now. That's obviously how the Eldred knew he was gone. He has announced himself as the new leader of the UIN, BC,
she says as she walks.
Ibn al-Salid was standing next to him, announced he was stepping down because of his health and that Ibn al-Dolomei was being installed in his stead.
And when did this happen? BC asks.
It's happening live,
Anita tells him, as she turns on a nearby news screen built into the bay wall. The announcer cuts in as a picture of al-Salid and another man, evidently Dolomei, standing side by side, appears.
The new head of the Universal Islamic Nation, Ibn al-Dolameh, appeared briefly before the media earlier after what he described as a dust-up with UTZ forces, the newscaster reports. These UTZ forces have been described by Ibn al-Dolameh as new hybrid UTZ ships produced with the help of the previously clandestine government group known as the Project. The attack reportedly occurred at a formerly secret base out in the asteroid belt run by this mysterious group, led by head UTZ CEO Bernard Campion, the former Pope.
Damn, what's Dolameh doing? Dragging all this out into the open in his own skewed way.
The news announcer continues his report.
Ibn al-Dolameh promised to make a lengthier statement about this dust-up in about an hour, but he finished his current statement by repeating that the Universal Islamic Nation will not be deterred in what he described as their quest to follow the Prophet Muhammad to the greater glory of Allah.
Click. BC turns the news screen off.
Hey, Anita protests.
Old news now, BC insists.
It's strange for me to hear the Project talked about on the news, she tells BC. I guess we are in the public eye now.
About the Project, maybe, but it's not all out, not really, BC argues. The media have no idea about Dolameh's background. They've never heard about the ancient enemy. Maybe they've heard something about aliens being responsible for the plague, maybe, BC insists. But they don't know who the Eldred are. Dolameh made no mention of their involvement. Did you notice that?
I did,
Anita sighs.
The average person out there still has no idea aliens are fucking with us, have been fucking with us for some time. They don't know Dolomé's an alien. The general public still don't know that the Domo, the Flays, or even that the Eldred exist, never mind what they've been up to. They don't know those new hybrid ships Dolameh mentioned actually use reverse-engineered Domo and Flays tech, Anita points out. Dolameh only mentioned that the UTZ and the Project were collaborating. He didn't actually mention that we were using alien technology.
You see my point, then.
Not exactly, Anita plays obtuse.
It's what Dolameh is leaving out, BC tells her. On purpose. He doesn't want anyone to know about the Eldred, especially the people on Mars. Any talk about the Eldred or any of the aliens would lead to talk about the ancient enemy. BC is thinking out loud.
I would bet you there's no way Dolameh wants talk of them to get out, because that could lead to the revelation of who he really is, BC figures.
Right, Anita says uncertainly.
Sure, maybe. I'm not sure humanity is ready to grasp the concept that we come from ancient alien stock, either, she says. And even if they get that, they might embrace Dolameh as an ancestor, hold him up as a hero, she says, shaking her head. He could play himself off as the hope of the UIN and the human race against hostile aliens.
Maybe, she theorizes,
then we begin to look like the bad guys.
So you're an optimist, then, BC cracks.
I'm a realist, she protests. The UIN hierarchy already mastered the whole us-against-them mentality, BC. Dolameh at least appears to be human. The Eldred and the others are definitely more alien and strange. You don't get much more us-versus-them-y than humans versus aliens, she finishes.
BC sees her eyes focus as another thought crosses her mind.
Us-versus-them-y? Well, I know what she means, and I had been hoping that would work for us, not against us.
Let's head into the base, she says, off on her next thought.
You can survey the damage from our command center.
Sounds like a plan, BC agrees. He follows Anita into the base. They leave the landing bay through a neat gray corridor and travel up two levels to the base's control deck. The elevator door opens on a large room whose walls are lined with view screens. The screens display the outer rock of the base and the surrounding space. Some screens have colorful graphic overlays, others offer breathtaking views of deep space. The room is full of busy people, technicians and engineers, checking on damage, ship landings, casualties, and other technical aspects of the battle just passed.
I notice the base itself doesn't seem to have taken much damage, BC observes.
Or am I just not seeing it?
No, you're right, Anita confirms. We were lucky. We finished up some new modifications to our Domo-based defense screens just in time. We were able to deflect most of the UIN ship's attacks.
She looks serious as a darker thought occurs to her.
I don't think even our modified screens will stand up to those Eldred weapons, though, BC. Did you see them? We were able to get some energy readings from our ship, the one they attacked, before it was destroyed. The readings were off the scale.
Yeah, BC agrees. For mellow little blue koala guys, they sure do pack a wallop.
Wonder if they learned their tricks from the ancient enemy,
Anita speculates.
And if they did, will Dolameh be able to get the UIN weapons to function at that level? And how soon?
Jeesh, BC exclaims, caught off guard by Anita's pessimism. You must be a lot of fun at parties, he jokes.
You have no idea.
Mr. Campion, a tech calls out to BC. Sorry to interrupt, sir, but I've got Mr. Wentworth on the comm for you.
Is there a room I could use to take his call? BC asks Anita. Sure, there's a conference room over here. She leads him across the room to a door between the view screens. Route the call to conference room 2, she tells the technician. BC laughs as he walks into conference room 2 and startles two scientists sitting in the room, the remnants of their lunch strewn across the conference room table. Apparently, Doctors Krishnavardi and Dundell had previously taken over the small conference room for their use as a cafeteria. Hello, Del. Hi, Krish. BC greets the two scientists. Del waves as he chews.
Lo, E.E.
Krish gets out past a mouthful of food. What are you doing in here? Anita asks them. Didn't mean to interrupt your lunch, BC cracks. Del finishes swallowing his last bite and speaks up.
Not to worry. We were supposed to eat just before the battle commenced. This was the first pause we've had since then. We thought we'd eaten here so we'd be close by the command center, in case we were needed.
Don't worry about it, BC reassures him. He looks over at Anita, who just shakes her head, trying not to laugh. Eat your lunch, BC tells them. You two mind if I take a call in here?
Not at all, Del says.
Nope,
Krish says, still eating. Here's the comm, Anita says, showing BC the private headset unit. He turns it on. A transparent image of Wentworth appears in the air in front of BC. Hello, Wentworth.
Campion, you okay?
I'm fine. We lost a lot of ships, though.
How many?
BC turns to Anita. How many? What, she says? How many what? Oh, she can't see or hear him at all. Very cool tech. How many ships did we lose? 21. And one is missing, she says somberly. We've got 10 ships left from the original 32. Maybe 5 of those are completely intact and ready to fly again. Those are the early reports, anyway.
Did you hear that? He asks Wentworth.
What?
What Anita just said.
No.
BC repeats what she said, and then turns back to Anita. Can you put him on, like, a speaker or something, so he can hear you and you him? He asks her. I don't think this conversation needs to be so private. Sure, hold on a second. She reaches over and takes the headset off of BC and places it on the table. She hits a button on the side, and Wentworth's face appears in miniature hovering in the air above the unit. Good, BC says. Now we won't have to keep repeating ourselves.
What about the base's shipyard?
Wentworth asks.
Were the ships on the line damaged? How many of those ships will be ready, and how soon?
It's a small operation here, Anita says. We've got 7 operational or nearly operational, 8, maybe 9 close to full mobility.
I think it's becoming obvious we need to ramp up that second shipyard you've been setting up out there. Make it a much bigger one. Make it match or exceed the output of the one on the moon,
Wentworth proclaims.
But first, right now we need to deal with the UIN and this Ibn al-Dolome and the fact that the Eldred have shown their teeth.
I'll say, Anita says. It bothers me that Dolome knew where this base was, and knew it was important enough to make it a target, BC chimes in. Let's set up flyby patrols, get some scouts out there watching for any more UIN ships in the neighborhood. Done, Anita says. Your last 10 ships are still out there on watch. I'll have our 7 that are ready to go head out there to take over for them. Fine, but let's mix the shifts up so your seasoned asteroid pilots can help out our Earth-based guys, BC offers. Good idea. Thanks, BC says. I've got to figure that as soon as the UIN, as soon as Dolome, that is, figures the Eldred aren't paying close attention, they'll strike here again.
Speaking of the Eldred,
Wentworth says,
apparently they can distinguish between our ships and the UIN. That's some good news.
They still took out one of ours, Anita points out.
By the way, what happened to you at the start of the battle, BC?
Krish asks, interrupting.
Your pilot says you blacked out.
More headaches?
That's true, you were out,
Wentworth agrees.
Gee, thanks a lot for bringing that up, Krish. Might as well tell them the truth.
It was Dolome. He was on one of the UIN ships, BC explains.
Dolome made you black out? How? Anita asks.
You're going to love this part,
Wentworth cracks. With his mind, BC tells them. I've heard Dolome in my head. He has telepathic powers. I think all of the ancient enemy had psionic powers. Dolome reached out with his mind and somehow attacked me.
Really?
Del says with an arched eyebrow. From what I've been able to figure out, the ancient enemy could speak mind to mind, BC tells them, attack mind to mind, read minds, maybe even move things with their minds, and influence the minds of weaker people. For some reason, I seem to be on a similar wavelength or something to Dolome. I'm aware of him. He can sense me, knows I can hear him.
He's tried to get into my thoughts. So far, I've been able to battle back and keep him out. I think.
You think?
Wentworth asks.
Maybe he found the location of this base within your mind, Del suggests. What else might he have gotten from you? You don't know.
There is no way he... Anita shakes her head. I'm still not sure we can totally trust the Eldred's version of the story. If we humans come from starseeds sent out by this ancient enemy, why don't we have powers like these? I think their starseeds worked with the native DNA back on Earth to create us, so we're kind of a combination of Earth and ancient enemy, if I understand it right, BC says.
So, even though Dolomei looks like us, he probably isn't the same biologically,
Wentworth asks.
One would assume he has alien physiology, Del confirms.
But Dolomei can still work on the minds of those around him. I think that's what happened to Al-Salid. I think Dolomei took him over. He's powerful and dangerous.
Beyond the spooky stuff,
Wentworth says, somewhat sarcastically.
He's obviously helped the UIN to modify their ships and weaponry.
Has there been any sign of new UIN activity around the Earth or the Moon? Any sign of UIN scouts? BC asks Wentworth.
Not so far, Wentworth reports. Troops and ships are all on alert, but it looks like the raid on the asteroid base was an isolated attack.
No doubt to test our readiness and our defenses, Del observes.
Perhaps,
Wentworth agrees cautiously with the scientist.
I don't think they'll attack any visible targets just yet,
Wentworth speculates.
I believe they attacked the asteroid base because it is, or was, off the map, if you know what I mean.
Now it's on the map and all over the news, Anita grumbles.
But they could hit the asteroid base with some impunity because most people didn't know it existed. Hell, I didn't even know it was there until 3 months ago,
Wentworth quips.
It was an inconspicuous target.
Great, Anita sighs with sarcasm.
Isaac Orm,
Krish says through another full mouth as he points at the small news screen in front of him. On the screen is an image of Dolomei with the caption, UTZ collaborates with aliens.
So much for your theory, Anita says to BC.
He must be making another statement, BC says. He looks over at Anita. You were right. He's going us against them-y. For some reason, Anita turns slightly red and says, I was right? Wentworth interrupts.
We have word back from Mars that Dolomei returned with only 2 ships. He hasn't made another public statement, but he did address the faithful on Mars after landing. The news must be picking up reports on that. Word is, Dolomei accused the UTZ of conspiring with aliens, of forging secret alien alliances, and he told the crowd of UIN faithful that advanced alien ships helped the UTZ hybrid ships defeat the superior UIN forces. Evidently, he had suggested that they would return with all of their ships intact and full of new technology that was rightfully theirs. He had to explain to them why it didn't happen that way.
So, he thought he could raid this base and take what he wanted, huh? BC comments.
Maybe we need to take what we want. What do we want? What do we need? How can we gain an edge, an advantage over Dolomei and the UIN, over the Eldred?
A thought occurs to BC.
I know what we need, what we want, but how do we take it?
Damn, I think I know what we need to do next, BC says to the group. We need to get our hands on an Eldred ship. What?
You're kidding. You've been wrong about everything else.
No way.
Crazy.
Everyone shoots BC down at once. The comments vary, but the sentiment is the same. BC argues for his idea. Think about it. They have advanced weapons. Their maneuvering and drive systems are apparently better than ours. They're simply more advanced than we are. Technologically, I mean. They swatted those UIN ships like flies. If we could get ourselves one of their ships, you scientists here with the project could reverse engineer it. Anita gives him an exaggerated, eye-popping look of disbelief. Oh, come on, Anita, BC protests. It's what the project is known for. How many Domo and Flay's inventions have you reverse-engineered into useful technology?
It is what we are known for,
Del agrees with BC.
All the time,
Krish pipes up enthusiastically.
Bring them on! You get the ship and we'll find a way to make the thing work for us.
See? BC says to Anita with a smile. It's an idea. A way to counter both the Eldred and Dolomei.
It's not a bad idea. It will take some work, to be sure, Wentworth agrees over the comm. But it can't be our only idea. How else can we go about stopping the Eldred and Dolomei?
Hey, he's back on!
Krish interrupts to inform them of Dolomei's new appearance on the news screen, with the caption,
Ibn al-Dolome makes public statement.
Hello, I am Ibn al-Dolome, the leader of the Universal Islamic Nation. I speak now not only to my own people, but to all members of the human race, indeed to all the creatures of Allah. May his name be forever praised. I do not mean to sound crazy or alarmist, but our UIN ships have recently discovered alien races spying on us all from a secret base in the asteroids. I hope you do not find this far-fetched. It is far too real. And for the greater good of all humanity, we set out to investigate, to find this secret base, and once we found it, to explore the base and meet our covert observers. But when we found the base, we were attacked. A fleet of alien and human ships together came at us out of nowhere. They, unfortunately, had the element of shock, of surprise, and wiped out many of our ships before we could even react. My fear, now that we have unknowingly provoked them by kicking the proverbial hornet's nest, my fear is that they will come and attack us here on Mars. For the saddest fact of all in this is that the UTZ has allied themselves with aliens. The UTZ forces were there on the base mingling with these aliens, and they attacked us, we who are their human brothers, alongside the evil alien fiends, their allies, those uncreated devils. We have no choice but to consider the attack on our ships and the discovery of collusion with aliens to be acts of war by the UTZ, and from here on, consider the UIN to once again be at war with the Universal Trade Zone. Any UTZ ships that approach Mars will be shot down. Any UTZ citizen found in UIN space must convert to Islam and swear allegiance to me or suffer penalty of exile or death. And I say unto you, citizens of the UTZ, that your government leads you down a path away from Allah, alongside creatures not of his making, and you damn yourselves.
The news clip ends. Cheery guy, BC cracks.
I don't think his people are going to believe him,
Wentworth says.
I think he came off a bit unhinged there, don't you?
He looks at them over the comm.
It's a bit early in his reign to be going on the offensive.
You think so? BC says sarcastically. Is it ever too early if you can bend people's minds?
He obviously told his people that he'd return from the asteroids with great riches. Now he's trying to explain his failure, to shift the blame through bluster and hyperbole.
Wentworth snarls. An alarm begins to sound. The conference room door opens, and a tech leans in through the doorway.
We've got a report of Eldred ships in orbit around Mars, she says.
Great, BC sighs.
I thought we might get a breather. No such luck.
That was Chapter 4 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. Now, the Eldred have now invaded the solar system so they can face Dolome directly. Will they attack? Well, they're all around Mars. And is Mars named for the god of war? You will be able to find out what they do in our next episode, our next installment, in Chapter 5 of Vatican Abdicator, coming up next week. Our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder of my news, I am now writing for Fanfare on Medium. At least for my pop culture stuff. They've picked up my Marvel Phase 5 and my Dark Phoenix articles. Also approached by Eruditely, a brand new social media platform about joining them, so gonna look into that today. And I'll be giving away Good Samaritan number 1, Good Samaritan Unto Dust number 1, as part of the third annual non-Comic-Con Relaxational Week run by Gary Scott Beatty. Starts up on July 8th. If you want to get in on that, sign up for his list, his mailing list, at azurn.com, that is AAZURN.com. And not only will you get Good Samaritan, but a whole bunch of other great free indie comics. The book you're listening to, Vatican Abdicator, is available as an ebook, and in print, as a paperback, and as an audiobook at Audible, Kobo, Rakuten, Walmart,
wherever fine audiobooks are sold. So you don't have to wait till next week if you want to hear the whole thing now. For any of my books, just go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's MikeLuoma.com. And that's this week's show. As always, the music on the podcast is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.